Been listening to the messages that Gary has presented, listening inside what the Holy Ghost is wanting to say to us right now. And I spoke a week and a half ago about rescuing your mind. I'm hearing some of the same scriptures, even coming through Gary, that came through me. One in particular is out of Philippians, and let's just read it real quick. It's Philippians chapter 4. Because I'm finding out in this particular chapter, in these verses, that I believe herein is the mind of the Lord for what he's trying to say to us right now. And it's beginning in verse 6 and verse 7. See, I read this verse when I preached, and then Gary read it again, I think it was either Sunday or Wednesday. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, what things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, that's not a suggestion. That's what we're supposed to be thinking on, meditating on, allowing to grow inside of us. These things. And whenever I presented the message about rescuing your mind, it was more on an individual basis. Because the enemy had tried to take me apart. And I knew what it was like to feel like I'd been placed in a prison emotionally, where I couldn't get out. And I felt like everything that I tried to do was just of no avail. And I knew whenever I delivered that message, I knew at least one person, if not more, was going to be ministered to by it, specifically that night. And I had one individual that came to me and they said, it was like you were standing in front of me speaking directly to me. And that's what this is about, speaking the message that you need to hear. What the Lord has put in my spirit today is not for just the individual. We're talking about today how he comes and he attacks the group, the mind that we have. I was born in 1964, 46 years old. If you think about what I've seen in changes in my lifetime, and you compare that to, let's say, my dad, who's 80 years old, be 80 years old this year, and the changes that he's seen. You know, he was educated in a one-room schoolhouse. He went from a one-room schoolhouse to being a teacher in an elementary school where they had, computers in the rooms. Think about that. The kind of changes that he witnessed in his lifetime. Well, being born in 1964, there was things that were in existence at that point, thinking in people's minds that was in existence, that I was born into. I didn't even realize the things at that moment that people were thinking about. What was going on? We had the Vietnam War. We had people that it was the beginning of, or maybe in the middle of the drug, how the drugs began to infiltrate into our society. What was happening? The enemy was attacking in a wave. And if you look back through history, you can see these waves where he comes in and he attacks a whole society, a whole culture with different thoughts, different different destructive thoughts, whether it's like in my lifetime, divorce. When I was a kid, divorce was, I mean, that was like, especially in the church. If you saw someone in our church who had been through a divorce, it was like, oh my gosh. Anything about that today? It's not that way. You think about some of the other changes. For example, and because of the way things are today, I have to be very careful how I say some of these things. The sanctity of marriage. Marriage is between a man and a woman. There's no alternative to that. But what have we seen? In my lifetime, when I was a child, who would have thought? Who would have thought? And then all of a sudden, here comes what? A TV show? It was called Soap. It was the first one I've ever saw where there was a person on there living an alternative lifestyle. And I still couldn't really understand it. I didn't know why that person wanted to be that way. But now look at where we've brought, and it's only been in 46 years. I think of how my dad, from what he saw growing up in a, and he'll love the name of the where he grew up at, Oatsville. I mean, it's like Mayberry. Oatsville is where he was born and raised. Oatsville, Indiana. Grew up there, went to the one-room schoolhouse. You know, it's amazing to me the way that things have transpired in this man's life. You know, now he walks around with something in his pocket that he can call me with anywhere in the world. Think about that. He had a telephone that was like a party line when he was a kid. He had a light bulb, you know, for electricity hanging from the ceiling. It was so far removed from what we have today. But with these advancements, the enemy has used things like the media, television, began with radio, moved to television, movies. He's used those avenues to infiltrate the way we think about things. Think about in the last week. How many times have you seen something on television that 20 years ago you wouldn't have seen? Think about that. Or they say things verbally on the television 20 years ago, you wouldn't have heard that. You just wouldn't have heard that. And for some of you that are 20 years or younger, you don't even know what I'm talking about. Folks, it wasn't that way before. It just wasn't. And we're moving so fast now that we often don't stop and realize how fast things are progressing right now. Things are progressing like you wouldn't believe. If I told you that they think in 7 years, I mean, the capability with biometrics, I think is how they, what they use for that word. The capability is there in 7 years to put a number in your body for every person. It's there. It exists right now. And they think in 7 years we could be in that place. There's no number going in my body. Are you kidding me? There's no debate about that. But see, that's the way things go. There's a trend. Things begin to roll in this direction. And then all of a sudden, if you contradict that trend, that the norm of society, you contradict that, you're the standout. You're the bigot. If you don't fit into this pattern that we're establishing as a society, if you don't fit into this, you're a bigot. I need to tell you, folks, when you walk the straight and the narrow, you will not fit into that narrow parameter. You won't. And you're going to have to decide. And that's what this message is about. It's about being under the influence. That's what it's about, being under the... What influence are you under? Are you under God's influence? Or are you being influenced by the enemy? And the enemy will put people into positions of authority. You know, we think someone that's demon-possessed is the person slobbering on the floor. We think the person in the mental institution, and they're demon-possessed. But the enemy has used things like movies, like television productions. And he has put his people into these key positions because he wants to orchestrate his mind for a society to turn them the direction he wants to go. You see something enough times, you begin to accept it. When we went to Costa Rica, and we lived there for a year in an effort to learn Spanish, you would be surprised. It doesn't take very long for you to begin to accept for normal in that country what you would never accept for normal here. But your soul has that ability to conform you to those surroundings. Until before you know it, you're doing things, you're thinking ways, you're eating things, you're believing things that you didn't believe or think or do before because you've been influenced by that society, because your soul has transformed you. Like Pastor Dave talks about, if we drop you off in Alaska or in the frozen tundra, and we leave you there with no food, you're going to transform, and you might even eat whale blubber to survive. You might eat things that you would normally believe that you would find very edible just to survive. But your body is, your soul is transforming you to these things. It's the same thing now. You're being transformed, and you don't realize it. And that's the scary part. You don't realize how much you're being transformed to the things that the enemy has infiltrated the society with. I give you an issue. Talk about sanctity of life. Whether it's a newborn or whether it's an elderly person, the sanctity of life. How do you feel it? What do you believe about that? What goes on in your mind? Is there ever a place where the sanctity of life should be interrupted by you by a decision? Ever? 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 You see, the enemy wants to bring that little hint of question. Well, maybe in this situation, maybe in that situation, it's okay. And once he does that, you open the Pandora's box. Because you've just separated yourself from the mind of Christ. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's not your choice at all. But that's how he works. He wants to slowly step you back. See, he uses the same type of a plan that brought you into the kingdom of God, except in reverse. He knew that God would only use the very best for his children to bring them into the kingdom. The very best plan. Begin with you hearing the word of God. You came into a church one day. You heard the word. You believed that word. You were saved. Then began the indoctrination, where you began to receive the doctrine, brought forth your transformation, began the process of you deciding in your purging process, I want to be purged. I want to actively participate in the purging of myself. Well, he knew that had to be the best plan. So what did he do? He's using it in the reverse against us. And I just saw this picture and I thought about this yesterday. When we lived in Florida, you know, we lived 10 minutes from the ocean. I love to think about that in January in Oklahoma. Go out into the ocean. You walk out a few, you know, in Florida it drops off pretty quick, so you don't have a long way to walk out. But you walk out a little bit. Tide comes in. And you can stand there and you can feel this pull as it goes back into the ocean. You can feel the water as it rushes between your legs. It's pulling you back. You see, as we live in this world, there is a constant pull backwards. Constantly. He wants to step you back. He doesn't want you to progress in the things of God. He wants you to be destroyed. He wants you to be neutralized. If he can't lead to destruction, just neutralize you. Just put you in a church where they don't preach about the ministry of the Holy Ghost, where they don't talk about tongues, where they don't talk about you being changed, where you can just sit there week after week, watch the calendar days go by, watch the years go by, and then you die and you've done nothing. That's what he wants to do. If he can't just destroy you and get you off the face of the earth, he wants to put you in a box and throw away the key, and there you will stay forever. But fortunately, you found this place. Fortunately, you found out that you don't have to stay in that box. And slowly we have shown you the keys for getting out. Handed them to you. Now it's your responsibility to use them. To open that jail cell, to walk out of it, and to keep walking against that tide that's pulling you backwards. You see, there's ways of thinking in your mind that still need to be transformed. That still need to be changed, because you, like me, run into things that the enemy send our way, and you resort back to some of that thinking, that stinking thinking. It's wrong. It's not the thinking that God wants you to. See, the enemy wants you to try and solve your problems in your soul. Now, grab hold of this. He wants you to get into solving your problems in your soul. That's not where you solve your problems at. He wants you to think real hard. Think real hard. Worry about it. That scripture we read at the beginning, he wants you to think and focus on those problems when they come up. Spend all your time on that. There's no power in that. You're going to spin your wheels trying to think your way out of stuff, when all the time the answer is going to come out of your spirit. As you speak the faith-filled words. But see, as he steps you back, he's stepping you back from you wanting to do those things. From you wanting to fast, from you wanting to pray in tongues, from you wanting to confess the word. Now, this is the fasting time for us right now, as more so than any other part of the year. The first quarter of this year is a fasting time. Some of you, some of us, could care less about it. And I don't say that to condemn you. I just simply want you to see that tide has come against you and has pulled you back from that. That tide is working against you. To think about praying 2 or 3 hours, for some of you, you're not there. It's because you've been influenced. And so what happens? So what happens when that doctor looks you in the eye and says, I think it's terminal? What do you do then? Think your way out of it? It doesn't work. Now, as I've allowed what's happening in the spirit right now to roll inside of me, I've had an opportunity to think back to when we sat in front of the doctor and the doctor basically said that to Debbie. And at that moment, I wasn't prepared for that. You know, that we had already gone through the procedures that they said, if you do this, if you do the radiation, if you do the chemo, if you walk this way, things will go well. We walked that way. They didn't go well. And if my dependency would have only been there, I'm sunk. And what I'm concerned about is that even in this body, that your dependency is shifted. That it's not on God the way it should be. That in your mind you think that you're depending on Him. But when you're faced with the reality of a life or death situation, or you're faced with, they closed the plant today, my job's over, what's the thought in your mind? See, that is the concern in my spirit right now, is that when you're faced with those dire situations, and hey, they happen to all of us. You are not immune. You're just not immune to it. When you're faced with it, what is the first response that you have? Because that first response tells us where you are. That's the litmus test. When they say the plant's closing, when they say the job's over, that first response that you have, is it fear? Or the words that we read in Philippians 4, are those the things that are happening inside of you? Do you have that peace? Because if you don't, you have allowed that tide to pull you backwards. Do you see where I'm talking about? You see where I'm at? It's not just hearing this message. It's doing this message. Continually doing it. It's not having heard the word. It's hearing the word over and over and over and reading the word. And reading the word and meditating on the word. And allowing that word to become so much a part of you that when you're faced with whatever it is, you don't resort to the old thinking of that old man. It had to be the perfect example with Mike standing behind Alan. Had to be the perfect example. For those of you that weren't here, it was showing the difference between the new creation man, and there was a gentleman standing behind Alan. He was representing the part that wasn't born again, the part that's not going to heaven, the part that's staying here, is not going to be saved, is going to be destroyed. And I've thought about that and thought about that example. And I've wondered about it. Lord, what is it? I know I am this new creation. But what is it that makes me want to resort to think like him, like that old man? What is it that pulls me back into that arena? There's things on me that still need to be purged. There's handles on me. There's things inside of me that are still there that have to be dealt with. Turn over to John 15. John 15 and verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And stop there. Now we have, over the years, given you the answer to that purging process and how it is that you can submit yourself to that purging process through fasting. We know that there's the process of putting to death the part of you that's not going to heaven, putting that down, allowing your spirit man to develop. I'm not going to talk a lot about fasting this morning. And the reason why is because I think that there's enough of you that still need to be encouraged to even consider it. How's that? I hope I didn't step on too many toes saying it that way. So why beat you over the head, and I'm not a beat over the head type preacher, with something that you're not doing and you're not considering doing? Why? But I want to bring you to the place that you'll consider it. How's that? How's that? I want you to at least find a way that the want to can come back for this purging process. Why? Because I don't want to see you destroyed. I don't want to see you, when he comes at you and you got the deer in the headlight eyes and you don't know what to do. I don't want to see you that way. And you don't have to be that way. But there's a process, a purging process. And what I am finding out, if you don't want to go that route, if there's the want to's not there, you can see it with your mind. You can see the benefit of it. Help me get to the place that I want to go there. What helped me out when I found myself in those situations, just simply getting the Word of God out and reading it. Just read it. I'm trying to get this down on a level that, you know, this isn't great revelation, but yet it is. If you'll get His Word out and you get His mind going inside of you, something happens. The want to will begin to get cultivated inside of you. And all you're doing is reading these words. You're sitting there, you're looking at them, you're reading them. But His Word is alive, and it's not just words on a page. They're going inside of you. They're causing something to happen. You see, if the enemy could stop you from doing that, he would. But you can make that decision. I'm going to get the Word out. I'm going to start here. I'm going to get the want to back. Because it's not a decision in your mind. You don't just decide, okay, today, all that other trash is over with. I'm going to turn over a new leaf and everything's going to be better. It don't work that way. Because what's happened is, slowly, as that tide has pulled you backwards, that influence has slowly stepped you back, you really don't realize how far back you can go or how far back you have gone until it's too late. And then all of a sudden, you're in this prison. You don't know how to get out. You really don't know if you want to get out. But here's the way out. Just read His Word. Just read it. Put it inside of you. And little by little, that want to is going to come back. And you're going to start walking out of that place. And you're going to, before you know it, you're going to be praying in tongues again like you used to. And then if you keep, as you keep doing that, the next thing you know, I think I might skip a meal. I had an email from someone I met at the conference this year. I hate to divulge too much, but this person's older, and she sent me her fasting schedule. When I say older, I'm saying older. Okay? And she sent me her fasting schedule. Now, we're not talking about a 40-day fast. We're talking about something that's doable for her, something that's smart, that shows that she has some wisdom for her age. It's doable, folks. Something is doable. And what's going to happen? As you do this process, fasting, praying in tongues, we've heard it for years. But somehow, for some of us, it's like it doesn't stop. It just goes in one ear and goes right out that other ear. It doesn't seem to stop inside. We don't seem to grab hold of it. The handles will come off. I saw this picture, and I thought about doing it. I told Tim as soon as I saw it, I thought, you know, this is a great picture. And my wife would be great doing it, too. I was going to stand here with some handles on my back, and she was going to play a spiritual wickedness coming and pulling. And I just think she would be great for that part. But she was going to pull on those handles, because that's what happens. You've brought this into your life. When you got saved, those handles just didn't disappear. All those things you cultivated as a sinner, and most likely most of you were pretty good sinners. I've heard some of your stories. You were pretty good at it. You develop some pretty good handles. Well, you get saved one day, and all of a sudden, you know, hey, I better clean up my act. Well, and the one thing I noticed is a lot of those desires, they just stopped. But you know what? The root cause of why I did some of those things in the natural, in the flesh, the root cause was still there. It was just bore in real far. And this is one thing that I want to warn some of you that are going to fast. It wasn't until I began some of my harder fasts that I uncovered some of those things. And once you uncover them, don't stop the process. Because in one case I did, because it started to kind of, it was like, it's there it is, right out in the open. Now's not the time to stop, Mark. What did I do? I stopped. Now's the time to deal with it. You're never at a better place than at that moment to deal with those issues. Don't stop. Keep going. I did. It turned out to be a problem for me for a while until I went back in and dealt with it. I don't say that to scare you. I just say that because we have to be wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. We have to understand there's a wisdom here. He's going to come at you with everything. Don't try to ignore Him and think He's going to go away. He's not. And if there's something inside of you that He can take hold of and he can twist, he's going to do that. Don't let him. And by stopping this purging process and thinking he's going to leave you alone, ask Gary. He doesn't do it. He still comes and tries to murder you and kill you and take your life. But now you're just defenseless because you've stopped. You understand this is a war and you're a soldier? And you have to fight. And it takes courage. And if you come to this church, bless God, you better know there's a battle here. You better know it. Because we're pressing in. We're not just trying to mark calendar days off until Jesus comes. You understand that? We are contending for an outpouring here, and we will see it. I was thinking about that also. You know, whenever people, when the ambulances are lined up, and they are going to be lined up, and if you're doubting that in your mind right now, it's because you've been pulled backwards. They are going to line up outside of this church. And they're going to bring the halt, the lame, the blind, the maimed into this place, and they are going to be healed and delivered and set free. And if you don't see that in your insides, in your spirit, it's because you've been pulled backwards. And you have got to see that. You've got to have that image working on the inside of you of revival. I don't just go to a church where revival is going to break out. I'm part of the cause that revival is going to break out. I'm part of the reason revival is going to break out here. I'm not a bystander waiting for it to happen because someone else paid the price. I'm paying the price. Folks, this is an everyday thing for me. I really believe we're just that close. And I believe the reason why these messages are coming the way they are is because he's trying to get you to see where are you at in your mind, in your thinking. Where do you see yourself in this revival? When Channel 6 comes up and sticks a mic in your face and says, I heard that there's miracles in that church. Tell me about it. You know, they always pick probably the most ambiguous person, you know, standing over in the corner and they stick a mic in their face. Are you ready? Are you ready to say, I go to that church. We talk in tongues there. We believe that you lay hands on the sick and they recover. Are you ready to say that? My guess is some are. Some wonder. They think they might be. There's a difference between wondering and doing it. See, that's where I see we are. We're at this place where he's wanting us not just to think that we're ready, but to really be ready. Not just to think in your mind these lovely thoughts about revival, but to really believe, to really see it on the inside. Do you see it? Do you see the wheelchair coming in and the person walking out? Do you see it? Do you see the arm growing out? Do you see the white eyes become blue? I like blue, so they're going to be blue. Do you see that? Is that working on the inside? No, Brother Mark, it's not. When I look inside, I don't see anything. Okay, well, at least you know where you're at. So just like whenever we were in school, the teacher stood in front of you and said, okay, here's the answer. Do it. Just do it. If you're not at that place in that purging process where you even want to think about fasting, just get your Bible out and read it. Because that tide is pulling you. That influence, His influence is influencing you all the time. Just look, just stand in the checkout. Oh my gosh. Don't look at the magazines. Oh my gosh. When I was a kid, that was pornography. I am not kidding you. It was pornography. And you can stand in the Walmart line and look at it. Oh my gosh. Don't look. You don't know how many times you're being influenced. Just watching an innocent news program, they're telling you interview after interview, this economy, it stinks. It's going to go down the toilet. And all that stuff is creating images on the inside of you. Are you thinking at that moment about God is my source? Or are you thinking, oh my gosh, what in the world am I going to do whenever this money in my pocket is worthless? What am I going to do then? You see, that right there will tell you where you are at. And you look at the medical industry. And you think about, I just thank God that we live in this country, okay? I thank God for that. I really do. I thank God for the advances in medicine. But if I see another commercial for an attorney that's suing because of a medical device that has broken in somebody's body, what am I pointing out? Your answer is not at the doctor's office. Your answer is between those pages. It's inside there. It's you getting it out and not depending on the government for your health care or anybody for your health care. It's Jesus. It has to be Jesus. It has to be the fact that He bore your sicknesses, He carried your pain, and by His stripes you are healed. That it can only be. See, I look into the future, and what I see in the future is, if my dependency is not totally, completely on Jesus, that I'm going to bend my knee at some point to something other than Him. And I don't intend on doing that for nobody. But it starts now, not then. It starts now by the thoughts in your mind. Because like I said, it came in a wave. It always, for the enemy, it comes in this wave of thoughts. He's brought immorality into the church. Everybody wants to get a divorce. Everybody wants to run off with somebody else's wife in the church, of all places. He flooded in, and all of a sudden, we saw people that we never would have imagined getting the divorce and running off with somebody else. I saw it. I saw it in the pastor of the church I grew up in. I saw it in the pastor of the church Debbie and I was married in. I saw it in the next pastor that after we left that church was in a hotel room with a girl 16 years old. What are you thinking about? It's not, he didn't decide that one day okay, I think I'll just go do something stupid. No, that wave was pulling him backwards and backwards, and he didn't recognize where he was. I want you to recognize where you are. The influence is there. You're being influenced. Where are you at? Pinpoint it. If you don't like it, change it. And I would imagine for every one of us, there's no place that you can say, okay, I'm satisfied, I'm going to stop here. That's when you're in trouble. You can't stop. There's no place for stopping. You've got to continually advance. Keep going. Keep taking more ground. Are you hearing me today? Amen. Let's look at a few more scriptures. Let's go back to Ephesians 6. I'd just like to point out a few things, especially since I took the time to look them up. At least let me share them with you. That way, at least I feel like I've done something, you know. Ephesians 6. Beginning in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, the word wiles, in the Greek, the word is methodia. Vine's expository dictionary defines it as deceit, a cunning device with a view to the craft of deceit. When I read this, and I did some other studies where it's used in another place in Ephesians, this was my take on it. This is what I was getting from it. Here's how the enemy operates. Have you seen someone that's like and sometimes they're street vendors. They have the table set up and they put a little pebble underneath one of the things and they shuffle it around and you're supposed to pick which one of the little cups the pebble's under. It's always that quickness and somewhere along the way they're deceiving you and you just don't know. Well, that's the way the enemy is. He wants to get you looking right over here at something. Get your attention over here. Focus over here. And all the time he's back over here just beating your brains out. You don't even realize it. And all your attention is somewhere else. That's what this word is talking about. His plans, his wiles, the way he tricks you, his craftiness. He gets you where you are in trouble, but you don't even know how I got here. How did I get here? All of a sudden you wake up one day and it's like, oh my gosh. You just have one of those moments. Oh my gosh, how in the world did I get here? Well, I hope that this is a wake-up call for you. You're not going to defeat him with your mind. You're not going to think your way when you wake up in that situation. Oh my gosh, how did I get here? You're not going to think your way out of it. It's got to be something that's worked in your spirit that produces the results that will bring you out of those situations. You know, I noticed something when I read about Jesus and the temptations. You know, he didn't have any handles. Think about this. Jesus didn't have any handles. Nothing. But there was still temptation. There was still temptation. And it was ungodly temptation. I, on the other hand, have handles. So there's definitely something that he can pull on and twist and try to bring me down. I want to get rid of those. I want to deal with those, and I know how to do it. I guess I'm going to talk a little bit about fasting. You got 5 minutes of fasting. 5 minutes. Whatever you do, don't do it dumb. Don't be dumb about fasting, because you can hurt yourself. Use your brain. Listen to your body. When it tells you eat something, not because hey, it's going to tell you to eat something. Okay. I mean, let's just clarify this now. All right. It's going to tell you to eat. All you got to do is walk into a place and, oh my goodness, I never smelled it like that before. That's not what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. And when you just, you know, something doesn't feel right. Some didn't feel right. Well, let's eat a little bit, you know, and then start back at it. Just use common sense. If you have a medical condition, if you're on medication, see a doctor before you do any of this, before you do any fasting. And once again, if you don't even care about it, if you just don't care about it, read your Bible until you do care. Read your Bible until that desire kicks in again and you want to submit yourself to this purging process. Because I don't want that tide pulling me backwards. I don't want his influence. His influence, remember what I said at the beginning? Things that my dad grew up with. Oh my goodness, compared to what I'm growing up with. The influence that I'm dealing with compared to what he did. Unbelievable. They didn't have a TV. They didn't have 24/7 news cycle to hear about how bad things are all the time. They didn't have that. They didn't have the movies. They didn't have the things that we have today in our advanced society. We're so advanced. Don't let that advancement lead to your detriment. Sometimes you got to get away from that computer. Push away from it. Don't let the social network eat up all of your time. You don't have no time for Jesus. Come on. Where's your sense at? Oh, well, I'm using it to share Jesus. Well, you know something? You need to have something going on inside of you to share from. And you're not going to get that inside of you by sitting in front of that screen 24/7. I don't even talk about playing those stupid games. Forget about that. Sorry, I'm a little blunt sometimes. I just want you to know how I feel about things. And how you spend your time, you will stand accountable to Jesus for how you spend your time in this life. And what you did to fulfill his will, plan, and purpose for your life. Whether or not you submitted to that purging process or whether or not you just took a back seat. Let somebody else do all the hard lifting. When the revival comes, wake me up. Okay, just wake me up. I want to see the show. No. 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 You become a part of seeing this revival come to this place because you change with us and you cause it to happen. Because the last thing I want to see is the revival roll into this place because we contended for it, but you didn't change. And as a result, you had this big crosshair on your back and the enemy just destroyed you and took you right out. Because if you don't think that when the revival rolls into this place, that the temperature in the spirit isn't going to go up, that he's not going to do everything he can to try and bring disgrace to what's happening here, you got another thing coming because he will. And if you are vulnerable to him, you're going to be a victim. Don't be a victim. You can affect that now. Okay. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the words that are coming forth right now because I know that it's you. I know this is your mind. You want us. You want us to submit to this purging process. You want us to attack the handles. And I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that the people have ears to hear this. They've heard it. They do it. They attack the handles. And if nothing else, that they will just get in your word and read it till that desire is birthed in them again. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll see you in 30 minutes.